Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't look back in anger, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
We dared to dream.
And Jimmy Campbell.
Oh, man, we did.
Croatian for easy.
Yeah.
so we kept true to our form.
Jim, you had a little mumble in the intro there. You okay? You gonna have fun
right.
The intro? Okay.
I'm all right. Yeah.
That's how we all feel, I think.
Indeed it is. Probably a match too far for old England, but it feels different and we have to be proud of the lads, Jim.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I mean, it's you know, once the dust has settled, obviously we were all absolutely gutted last night. I'm sure that's true of everyone listening that was invested in England. It was a huge disappointment, but, you know, we didn't expect it to go this far. We didn't expect it to be this enjoyable. And I don't think we expected England to basically reignite the nation's football fans' passion for the national team. And that is something that's really important and really special. There will be kids watching this that want to play for England now that were of a generation that probably didn't really care about that.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
Luke, have you had a lovely time?
Yeah, I think overall, now the dust has settled a little bit, I feel more positive than I did last night. And I think Jim's hit on something there in terms of of kids watching, hopefully. And it's because it's important to make new memories and it's important to give people something to hang their hat on rather than these sepia-tinged ideas of things that happened before they were born. And that was, of course, true of the players as well. It felt like a bit of a tipping point for me, really. I mean, the way that the country is united and got behind the team and felt that there's enough in that squad of players and how impeccably they've carried themselves and how they've behaved and how they've been themselves, really. I think there's something that people have really related to there. And that's been a really important thing. Now, country is divided at the moment, obviously, and this has been something that's brought us together. And I think in time to come, we'll look back on this summer as a great summer and a great summer, and football's played a big part of that. Of course, I'd rather have won the damn thing.
Absolutely.
but you can't have it all. And one thing that really struck me actually is I've paid attention to a lot of the media both last night Like yourself, Marcus, had a bit of trouble sleeping last night, so spent a lot of time listening to the radio and saw a lot of the newspapers this morning. And one thing that's really interesting to me is that the positivity is unbelievable.
Every
commentator...
It's so different this time.
Every sort of football... I don't mean commentator as an actual commentator, but people who comment, the commentary out on football, I suppose, it's been really positive. Every single caller that phoned in on the phone and I listened to last night, the comments range from really proud of the team to give Gareth Southgate a knighthood. There was nothing less positive than that. And obviously that is going probably a bit too far, but the point being that you read the newspapers this morning, look at the headlines, everyone's positive, everyone's happy, everyone's fine with the manner in how it happened and is actually quite glad that we were able to do something to make ourselves proud.
Even though he's not won three best bets in a row, Gareth Southgate, on the Football Ramble, can we give him a...
Who has?
Nobody has. Can we give him an honorary Ramble knighthood?
I think we should. I think we should have him be the standard bearer for that.
Yeah, maybe.
Bestow that upon him. It would be so English, wouldn't it? Could you imagine how much it would wind up the rest of the world if the manager leading England into the Euros was Sir Gareth Southgate?
We have not learned a thing.
It would have been brilliant. And all the players have got overyeas.
Yeah. Give them all a knighthood. So the away stadium announcer has to go, Sir Eric Dyer.
Yeah.
Sir Garrett.
Sir Phil Jones.
Harry Maguire. Yeah.
Sir Nick Pope.
Yeah.
He's thinking, all right.
But not Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling, OBE.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which I'm led to believe isn't as good. But of course, that would be ridiculous. I think, and obviously, there's a bit of truth in that joke as well, because in terms of what should happen to this England squad now, it does deserve to be treated with pride and looked back on in a very fond manner. But I don't think we should be getting too ahead of ourselves.
No.
It should be treated not as a summit, but as a building block for them to move on to Euro 2020 and beyond, because it's a young group of players. They've got some positive experiences to draw on, and they need to use this as a platform, really. I know the players are different to the fans, and the fans will probably just want to enjoy it on its own terms, and that's fine. No one wants to think about two summers' time now, I get that. But it's important the players treat it in a certain way.
Yeah, I think what's really important about this group of players is this is not a golden generation. No one's saying that it is.
You said it could become one.
No, stop it. That's exactly what I'm not saying. I think everyone is realistically looking at this England team. Yes, England got to a semi-final, but they beat everyone you would expect them to beat on paper and then came up short in a very tight game against a team who are better than them, and their failings were exposed. It's not as if this team has shocked everyone and smashed Brazil and whatnot. We all know that. We're all aware of that. I think a lot of people from the outside looking in think we're deluded. We're not. We know that, you know, the draw helped.
Yeah, I agree, Jim.
It is a really, really brilliant platform to build on, because these players, as you say, they've got that experience now. They are very, very young, and they were sort of tactically naive in the second half in particular. The second half of this game has been the biggest disappointment of the World Cup for me, because England started to hoof it long again, and there were flashes of that in the first half to use Sterling's pace, and I think, but that was a little bit more, you know, it had a bit more intent behind it. But effectively, they just kept giving the ball away to Subasic, chasing that down, tiring themselves out, making themselves tired, and that's what led to the lapses in concentration that ultimately cost England the game. And that is the biggest frustration for me. But, you know, England used to do that pretty much constantly throughout a tournament, and then they would just do nothing. And, you know, it showed there's more to the team. It shows that actually there's still work to do. There's that side of the game to eradicate, but it's better than it's been in a long time.
Yeah, I was pleased that Kieran Trippier, you know, became only the third Englishman to score in a World Cup semi-final. He's had a wonderful tournament. It was a shame that he limped out at the end. And, of course, that there were sad scenes. But it was a great start for England. People say, oh, did we score too early? And so on and so forth. I mean, the whole sort of scoring early thing, that you only really say that about a team who have obvious limitations. And for me, England in this match, their limitations were exposed. I think you're right. You know, if you compare, say, England and Belgium, who were in the same group, of course, and Belgium, we were talking about them last time. Did they overachieve? Did they just achieve? For me, Belgium beating Brazil is such a great sort of trophy within itself for them, if you know what I mean by that.
It's a little piece of history.
It is, and they can say, do you know what? We beat a side who were fancied. And as you say, England never beat anybody who they were not expected to beat.
Yeah.
And that does show the limitations. You know, England didn't. You know, Belgium, I think, did have a great tournament, and England have as well. But England, when the going got tough, they did resort to long balls and so on. And I disagreed with some of the pundits at half-time and whatnot. People saying, England looked pretty comfortable. Yeah. I think England looked comfortable because Croatia looked really bad. Croatia in the final third in that first half were dreadful. And we were saying, you know, we watched the match together, we were saying, we can't rely on Croatia to keep playing bad balls into the box or keep playing sloppy passes or maybe England winning fouls in their defensive third to kind of alleviate the pressure. And yes, had Kane have scored that chance, I know he was given offside, but VAR would have probably corrected that. You know, the England's best hope was to get that second goal and Croatia to lose interest.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, everyone said, as Luka Modric pointed out after the game, oh, Croatia looked tired and so on. But of course, it was England who tired badly, and it wasn't Croatia.
And I think that's where, what I obviously agree with, the conclusion you guys have drawn, I actually disagree slightly with the reasons. I think it was, as you started the show off by saying, Marcus, it was a match too far for them. And I think they looked like a team, England, I mean, who had probably 45 minutes in them. Not enough is made of how difficult it is physically to win a World Cup. Mm-hmm. If you've got a young team like we have, I think the most inexperienced team in the tournament, the sheer amount of nervous energy you're going to burn before a game like that is going to render you tired. Now, the reason the Croatia didn't look as tired is because Luka Modric, for example, who I didn't think had a great game, by the way, Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic, for example, and Mandzukic, and for that matter, Perisic, they approached the game like they were playing in their local park, and they were probably relaxed for most of the day. That's a huge factor. The reason England did what they did, particularly in the second half, as Jim, I think, has correctly pointed out, is because they were tired. The amount of players you hear say, I mean, think of when Steven Gerrard scored that goal against West Ham in the FA Cup final. I smashed it because I was knackered.
Yeah,
I can't putt. A hallmark of a great team, a fit team, is you snap your passes, you take two or three steps either side to give your teammate an angle, and you get the ball back and you lend it out again. Mm. It seemed to me, actually, looking back at it, that England, on occasion, were trying to do that, but they couldn't do it more than five or six times before they just were so tired they had to play an easy pass or play it long or hit the channel. They were they went out on their shields last night. I think physically they were absolutely exhausted, and that says a lot for their lack of experience. And it's not a criticism, by the way. I'm still very proud of what they did. I don't blame them for it. They gave their all. Like I said, they went out on their shields. But to me, the calmness and the way the game was approached by a team who are a bit more experienced was the difference between the freshness and the tiredness to me. I think England probably had 45, 50, 55 minutes in them. And their best chance was, as one of you guys said, scoring the second goal and hoping either Croatia knocked on the door and it wasn't answered, or they felt like they couldn't make it and their heads dropped. And it didn't work out. And it could have worked out another way, because that chance for Kane could have gone in. We had chances to score. We didn't take the second goal. And that's how it goes. But I don't think England consciously decide. I just can't see how England, under that coaching staff, with not just Gareth Southgate but Steve Holland, would have engineered a way for them to play long like that. Or they panicked.
No, I don't think anyone's saying that. I think they're saying that they resorted to that.
They did, but I think that brings me around full circle, because I'm saying I agree with your conclusion, but I think the reason for it was just because they were tired.
Well, their tiredness, but also Croatia. I mean, Veselko, the Croatian defender, said the perception was, this is a new look England who have changed their ways of playing long balls upfield, but when we pressed them, it turned out they haven't. Now, that stings a bit,
it does.
And my partisan,
absolutely right.
My partisan England fan nature would almost tell him to sort it off.
Yeah, he had a great game.
He did have a great game, but he is.
He was excellent.
But he's right to an extent, because we haven't seen England do that earlier on in the tournament, because they were playing against sides who they should win. England now need to take away this kind of sort of long ball stuff against better sides. Now, whatever the reason, there's no doubt that the Croatia said at halftime, let's take 10 yards step forward, I think Gary Neville said, or something. Somebody said. And England, they look like they have done before. When they try and pass it out the back, when they got pressed, they go, oh, we're running out of options. Now, yes, that's because of tiredness and all that kind of stuff. And then they resorted to hitting it long. Harry Kane looked dead on his feet. Now, you remember the Euros 2 years ago. Kane looked absolutely exhausted pretty much from the first minute at the Euros last time. He hasn't looked like that this time, but he is tired as the tournament has gone on, understandably so. And the tricky thing for Gareth Southgate is, Kane is England's outstanding forward. And it's not just kind of, oh, well, let's keep him on because it's Harry Kane. Obviously, if England get a penalty, he's there. Or, you know, he had a header towards the end, which obviously he didn't do too well with, but he still, you know, had that chance. And he means a bit more to the side. But if England had another forward they could have brought on who was of a similar kind of mould, and I think he may well have changed it.
Mm.
Go on, Jim.
Kane even dropped back into midfield at points, didn't he, once Rashford had came on, because his passing range is pretty good as well. But again, he was so tired, he couldn't really affect the game that well. And I think Croatia, they're a canny, experienced side, far more than England are. And I think this is something that was overlooked going into the game. And they saw that they could just switch the play from flank to flank, just play it around easily, and it's just going to knacker England out and make problems worse.
The pass from Rakitic for the first goal, not the assist, but the pass before that, was amazing. Yeah. I don't think he even looked up. But you have to bear it in mind that, fine, we all get carried away, we all want England to win. It's not our job to be the experts on the Croatian national team.
Of course not.
I mean, we do what we do, and we rely on the players and the coaches to take care of that. But you have to bear in mind, everyone, that if you look at the list of players Croatia have got, Subasic, 43 caps. Čolica, 103 caps. Vida, 64 caps. Rakitic, 98 caps. Modric, 112. Mandzukic, 88. Perisic, 72. These are experienced, long in the tooth international football players who are going to feel much more at home on that stage, despite the fact that they're a small nation and they've not had, obviously, they've not won a World Cup or anything like that. But they're experienced. I mean, Luka Modric has been in three Champions League finals in a row.
Yeah,
you know, this does matter when it comes down to the.
I mean, you know, Lovren. I know one or two of the other England players have now played in the Champions League final, but you know, Lovren's had a great summer.
It's true what they say, Mandzukic
as well.
He's such a good player. It's true what they say. The biggest games are decided by the smallest margin.
Yeah,
and it could have gone either way for England, but I think ultimately, based on what we saw last night, if we're being completely even-handed, I would say Croatia deserved to win the game.
The better side.
Yeah, the better side played a more intelligent game, and they played the game in front of them rather than the occasion, as we've said before. And I think England obviously clearly let the occasion get to them, given the fact that they had nothing left in the tank, you know, in the second half, then still had another half hour to get through. They did well with that in mind. I mean, look at Kieran Trippier. I mean, he basically ran out of fitness almost. Yeah. It's like his energy bar was down to zero and he had to go off.
I was so proud of them all. I was so proud of how. It wasn't a case of we've been caught rabbit in the headlights. We don't know what to do here. We are just going to take the easy way out every time because we don't know what to do. We're going to play a simple pass, or we're going to clip that ball over the top and it's easily going to be defended. It was the fact that they went out on their shields. We ended the game with 10 men because people were working so hard after we'd made all four of our subs in extra time. Trippier was obviously very emotional when he wasn't able to play a further part in the game. They should be really proud of themselves. And more time goes on, the more proud we'll be of them. And they've set up a bright future for this country in terms of football. Because if you think of the young players we've got coming through, now I know there's a long way to go for them, but a lot of them haven't even had a sniff at international level yet, at senior level. And people like Foden and Sancho and Lookman and all these other top players.
Shelby.
Yeah. Like he has had a sniff. And, you know, England are 8-1 with Bet365 to win Euro 2020. So £10 returns, £90 including stake. I think they're third favourites or something now. So, I mean, the positivity is there.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio, read the newspapers. Everyone's united over this England team. The best thing they can do now is take them back on the road for these friendlies and for these Nations League games they play.
In which we have Croatia again.
Great.
Yeah.
Take them up to Ellen Road. Take them up to Old Trafford. Take them to Anfield. Take them wherever. Mm. Make it a real nation, a national team that we can be proud of, that everyone can feel involved in. Mm. Last night when I was going home after the game at Victoria Station in South London, it was like rush hour. It was rammed at like 11 p.m. And it was full of England fans.
Yeah.
Every second person had an England shirt on. Mm-hmm. Young, old, black, white, man, woman, child. Everyone was involved.
It's glorious.
There was over 30,000 people at Hyde Park watching the game. Mm. And if England had muddied their way through a tournament in the way that some people are saying they are because they played against opposition that weren't that good, fine. But I feel like they've inspired a nation of people, and that cannot be a coincidence. That cannot be an accident. Yeah, and the reason they've done that is because they've carried themselves and behaved such a genuinely lovely way that everyone's been able to relate to it, and everyone's wanted something to hang on to in these troubled times we live in, and they should be proud of that.
Absolutely. And also,
but again, I'd love to have won the fucking trophy. I'd prefer that.
Wouldn't we all? But, you know, look into the future, as you know, you can't help but do in a situation like this. It is tinged with sadness and there are caveats, but Euro 2012, the semis and the final are at Wembley.
2020.
We can't
go back in time.
I want to go back to Euro 2012.
No.
Yeah, Euro 2020, the semi-finals and the final are at Wembley. I mean, what better motivation for this squad to just go, you know what, let's pick ourselves up, let's get better, let's work on the flaws that we're exposing this World Cup, and let's see what we can do next time when we're a bit older and a bit wiser.
Let's get some good seats at Club Wembley for that final.
But a word of caution, there is no third place player from the Euros.
Yeah.
Just bear that in mind.
Yeah, no, we're well aware of that. Yeah, I mean, look, without going over the game too much, I think we've largely covered that. Yes, it is a missed opportunity. We can't get away from that. And yes, the two goals were avoidable, but we were fortunate when Perisic hit the post. You know, there were times. And like I say, I think some of the coverage, some people are sort of saying that, oh well, when England 1-0 up, they missed 3 1-on-1s and they were dancing around the Croatians. I actually don't go in for that.
We were surprised by the TV coverage at half time based on what we were seeing from where we were watching it.
I agree, and no doubt, Slaven Bilic seemed to be a bit annoyed after England won the quarterfinal that the pundits were, you know, talking about the final too much. I don't think they were. I think you kind of do it a bit tongue-in-cheek and it's fine.
I think Bilic got among some of those players, by the way.
Oh, definitely.
And that's why
Modric said, the English pundits, this, that and the other. But I've no problem with that. You know, you would expect the other way. Unlikely that Ian Wright's going to be on Croatian TV anytime soon. But
before I forget, can I just quickly say, on this tiredness point that I really hit home with earlier, that was a factor in the goals we conceded as well, because your concentration goes.
Absolutely.
And tiredness, I think, does tell the whole story of the game.
Well, Kyle Walker, who I thought was pretty good, actually, throughout the game, and
his pace is unbelievable.
It got England out of a lot of holes, which is why Gareth Southgate put him there. Yes, on another day, he might clear that the Perisic goal, but Perisic did so well to put that one away. And again, with the winning goal, you know, Stones just switches off, having nearly got a goal up the other end, a corner routine, and it's headed off the line.
I don't think that's Stones' fault, by the way.
No,
I think that's Maguire's fault.
Do you know what?
Was Maguire behind him?
Possibly, he was, but the thing is, Luke, this is not a big blame game. This is not, oh, there's a full goal because there's a red card.
Fuck him. Never play for it again.
And all that kind of stuff, you know. And I mean, Croatia had 22 shots at goal compared to England's 11. You know, that tells a story as well. England had very, very little going forward and they were going to rely on set pieces and whatnot.
Well, later on in the game.
Yeah, people say that England rely on set pieces. That again shows Gareth Southgate's astuteness.
But none of this actually... The thing about this is, right, the teams England played against and the way England scored their goals has been two of the biggest narratives throughout this entire tournament when it comes to England. And I really strongly feel that neither of those things matter.
Well, the thing is that people who are saying that England have had an easy run to the semi-final...
It doesn't matter.
Well, no one said that about Croatia.
And also, it doesn't. The reason it doesn't matter is because by definition of how a tournament works... Mm. Sweden, for example, are in the quarterfinal because they deserve to be there.
Yeah,
they've come through a group with Germany and Mexico. Mm. Germany, because they're the holders, it doesn't mean they're automatically good enough to get a bye to the quarter. You get there because you deserve to be there. And in terms of the goals and the set pieces, a huge number of goals have been scored by set pieces in this tournament. And it appears to be in some weird way that scoring a goal from set pieces, a set piece, isn't as worthy as scoring a goal from open play. Mm. Now, I understand Jim earlier in the tournament saying, I get Jim's point of view, which is that it would be nice to see us create a bit more. I understand all that. But it's almost like we're saying, oh, well, we're crying out for two or three midfield players who can create loads of chances. Well, I'll tell you what, Belgium had that in the semi. Didn't get them to the final.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is more than one way to skin a cat. And if England scored every single goal from a set piece and won the World Cup, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
it wouldn't make any difference.
But also, I mean, you know, that's set pieces are a thing every team's going to have. So, you know, if you make yourself really, really good at them, then you're at a huge, huge advantage. It's a brilliant thing that every time England had a set piece, you thought, you know what, we might get something out of this. And that's quite a rare thing in the past. You think, oh God, we might get done on the counter here. And also, the best thing for me about the beginning of this game, if we're taking the positives out of it, is that England set the agenda against a team that are better than them, a team they know are better than them and are more experienced than them. In the past, if you play in a Germany or a Brazil, England would be tentative and they would be
when you say they set the agenda.
Well, they were the ones going out attacking straight away.
In the first half.
They were the ones going, we're going to go at you, we're going to try and win this now and we're going to be on top. Mm-hmm. You were playing our game.
Yeah.
And obviously they tired and they couldn't you know, get that over the line. But in the past, England didn't do that. They shrank into themselves, and that is a brilliant thing as well. Let's not forget, England won a penalty shootout in this World Cup.
Also, Jim, if John Stones' header goes in, it's cleared off the line, beautiful header, and we nick that 2-1, everyone's saying, wow, it's a hallmark of a great team now. Not playing very well, really tired, but they still ground out
a win.
These
are the margins of football.
It's tiny margins in the biggest games.
And in the same way you talk about the penalty shootout, you're absolutely right. If Ariba's penalty is a couple of inches lower and he scores straight after Jordan Henderson misses,
over.
It's probably over. But these are the fine margin. Look at Croatia, two penalty shootouts. You know, it's a close call.
Two lottery wins.
It's a lottery come on,
they're in the final. It's been an amazing World Cup, and we'll be back on Monday to talk about that in its entirety.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part of it is, it's been an amazing World Cup, and we've seen amazing World Cups before, of course. But England have played their part in it.
Yes.
England could feasibly have a couple of players in the team of the tournament.
Yeah.
And you can't ask for any more than that. Now we're out.
And one of the big pluses for me is that three of England's best performers at this World Cup have been Pickford, Maguire and Trippier. Six of Pickford's 9 caps have been in this tournament. Six of Maguire's 12 caps and 5 of Trippier's 11 caps have been in this tournament. And it always used to annoy me when Germany would go to the World Cup, but, you know, when a young Thomas Müller turns up, he's only played 3 or 4 times for Germany, puts in great performances and so on. I think, why can't we have a bit
of
that?
We've set a platform for the future, because these players will know exactly what it's like to play for England. Mm-hmm. It'll be part of their routine as professional athletes. They'll get physically used to it. They'll grow into themselves. And it's a great platform for us.
Yeah. And as Southgate said, you know, just piggybacking on what you guys said, not Southgate, me, with his words, that England have broken through a number of barriers in these past weeks. They absolutely have. And the England fans staying behind well after the match to sing and applaud the England players and so on. We haven't seen those scenes probably before, ever.
Yeah. I wish he would have said, Southgate would have said, I have a strong commitment in the future to making my substitutions earlier.
Yeah.
If he had said that, I'd have been 100% behind him. But at the moment, I'm only 98.5% behind him because of that.
I see. But also, though, just before we go to a break, with England winning, you know, this sort of, was it the under-17 World Cup? And you know, they've won a couple of tournaments recently, England on the world stage. If England got to another final, it'd be a bit predictable.
Spain. Everyone was bored of it.
It's unfair.
I know.
It's greedy.
So give someone else a chance, and we have. All right, then. We're going to talk about France versus Croatia after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Cagliari, it's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe our witnesses. It's quite emotional, actually.
Wadler. Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody. France versus Croatia is the final, of course. And we may be in a situation on Sunday evening where we go, England dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, I agree with you that I'd like to have seen England, a fresh England, which we may obviously have never seen, have a crack at France because, you know, it'd be good to be in a final. I think I didn't have any realistic ambition that we'd win it.
None of me thinks that England would have beaten France.
I mean, given that the France Croatia is the big final, is it? Can we have a quick word on the third place player first?
Go on.
Do you think? Because the reason I'm saying this is just purely because I would be interested in your guys' thoughts about how Southgate will approach it for because he's got two options. One is he says, "Look, we're all a team here. We're a big squad. We've performed above our expectations. I want to give you guys a run out. I want to give Button one half. I want to give Nick Pope the other half. I want everyone to play a part." Or he says, tell you what, we can come third here, which is our best performance since 1966, because we obviously
finished fourth.
We're beaten by Italy in 90. So, how do you think he'll approach it?
I don't think that the clamber for third place is a thing in World Cups. I don't think it's like the Olympics for obvious reasons. I think that he will play Pickford and he'll play. I'll probably start with a strong back three. Trippier will probably be injured, so he could bring in Alexander-Arnold, or he could move Walker out to right wing back. It would seem unlikely. I think Alexander-Arnold will probably start, and I think he'll make a few changes, but not many.
So the demons that we've been trying to exorcise, no one's talking about that defeat in the third place playoff in 90.
No.
Can we exorcise? No. England 9-4 to win the third place playoff at Bet365. £10 returns, £32.50, including stake. Should they win it? Jim, do you think they'll go for it?
I think they'll want to sort of cement themselves as the bronze generation.
The bronze age.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Marcus. But I think one of the characteristics of Gareth Southgate's reign has been those margins, hasn't it? And it's been being very professional, being very measured in his approach. And I think he will set out to win the game, absolutely. He probably will do that while making changes at the same time. I think there won't be wholesale changes.
No.
I think he'll start a strong team.
I wonder if he'll start Kane. Kane will want to start Kane is obviously, what is he, two goals ahead of Lukaku for the golden boot. But I mean, any striker wants to carry on and make sure he gets his seventh. You know, would you go back to Ronaldo in 2002?
He's got nine, didn't he? I think
eight or nine. You know, the most players have got sort of five or six to win the golden boot since then. But he did look knackered, so maybe Jamie Vardy will get a start.
It'd be nice to see Vardy get a run out, generally.
Do you know what? Not going back to the England thing again, I wondered whether we should have brought in Welbeck.
I was thinking Welbeck, actually. But there we are. That's all done and dusted. So, but it'll be... I think it'll be a fairly enjoyable affair, I'm hoping. Belgium versus England. I think both
sides...
It's
a nice Saturday afternoon game to watch, isn't it? Bonus.
Both sides know each other quite well.
Brucey.
Yeah, I think 10 of the starting 11 for Belgium in the last game playing England. So
I think there's a question in terms of performance. Can you make an argument that really a 65% absolutely knackered Dele Alli is a better option or a more effective operator than a fresh Loftus-Cheek?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can. And I think you're right about Alexander-Arnold. I think he'll probably come in. And I think what Southgate could do is probably keep the same base.
Yep.
The same sort of, maybe bring in Cahill, but other than that, keep it all the same.
Yeah.
And then maybe play around with the attacking players a bit. But it depends. If he thinks that, you know what, we've all made a contribution here and some of these people deserve minutes. Some of the players who haven't featured at all might get 15, 20 minutes maybe.
It's such an odd game, this, isn't it?
Imagine if that goes to extra time and penalty.
Yeah, imagine it. it is effectively a friendly in the middle of a World Cup where it counts towards the Golden Boot as well, which is mad. Should we get rid of this?
No, I do like it because I think that ultimately what drives athletes and footballers on is their desire to want to win every game, right? Now you can have the conversation if you want about the England-Belgium game and the group and whatever. We've done that to death. But generally speaking, everyone wants to win every game. It is better to come third than to come fourth. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at setting a platform for the future, knowing that you now can't win the World Cup, you might want to give these players some experience.
Yeah.
That's just my angle on it.
Yeah, I think he will play Pickford in goal, and who again was brilliant for England. Save against Mandzukic late on where he sort of clattered him.
Do you know what? I thought he'd done a number on Mandzukic there. I thought Mandzukic is no way he's getting up from that.
Well, it shows you the toughness of those Croatian players, and that toughness they will need against France in the final. I mean, France, for me, whoever won out of England, Croatia, I couldn't see past France. We mentioned that before. And, you know, it seems ridiculous to think, well, Croatia might be a bit tired and blah, 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 blah. But this is a different one with Kylian Mbappe, who has got pace to burn, Griezmann making intelligent pieces of play, Pogba the way he's been playing, Kante. It is a tall order for Croatia. However, they will feel a sense of destiny and it's their time.
Absolutely. We forgot to mention when we were talking about the France-Belgium game, or I certainly did, how my highlight of that was the very first thing that happened in the game was they shunted the ball out wide to Kylian Mbappe, who just went on a darting run down the wing straight away to properly like just shit them up.
Put the wind up.
And show them like this is what you're up against all game. And Croatia will be looking at that. I'm not going to go and say that they're going to be tired, because apparently they're not affected by tiredness for some reason.
They're offended by it.
Yeah, they are. They're motivated by it. They're energised by it somehow.
They want to be tired of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not tired enough.
Yeah, they're probably hiking up a mountain today. It is going to be a really interesting game. Who do you want to win it? Because I'm still stung by the fact England lost. And part of me is thinking, I want France to do a number on them. Not even in a particularly entertaining way. I don't think this Croatia team are that good.
Yeah. Is there any consolation to losing to the eventual winners?
No, I don't think there is. I've never really gone in for that.
No, I've never really gone in for that either. However, to see a new winner at a World Cup...
And a country
is always
that small as well.
Yeah, 4.2 million or something. I mean, I've often touted Iceland as the most overachieving nation in world football. And I think there's still
Croatia
a lot
there. Up there.
Croatia now, you've got to say.
Uruguay, having won it in the past, which when obviously football is very, very different, would be the only comparable thing to Croatia even being in the final.
I think sentimentality aside, I think you look at it and you think, France win this. I think obviously they've got a better team and they've looked better and they look like they might have a bit more in the tank to go up another level. But I think you also got to take into account the Euro 2016 final, which they thought they were going to win, and they didn't, and it hurt them badly. And I think that's. I mean, we can talk about this really sort of ephemeral idea of not underestimating a team and making sure you don't do that. But once you've got the experience of having made that mistake, so it's like an experience-based point of view where you go, well, do you know what? The reason we're not going to underestimate this team is because we've been told they're good, or the reason we're not going to underestimate this team is because we did that before and it bit us in the arse and we're still hurting from it. I think that gives you a lot more focus and a lot more motivation. I think France are tremendous. Obviously, they would be anyway, but I think in light of that, they're tremendously motivated. And the only thing that it's sort of stopping me going all in for France, I suppose, is the fact that Croatia feel like they obviously feel like their name is on the trophy and it's their time. But to be honest, I don't really know there's much in that. I mean, that doesn't really mean anything because you're in the final, Of course, you think you're going to win it. I just think France are the better team, and I think they'll hope that, well, hopefully they'll do it, because I think they've been the best team in the tournament.
Yeah, and maybe in hindsight, you know, if France do hammer Croatia, which they may do, they may not do. I wonder if... Because I really didn't think if England got through, they would beat France. And again, obviously, you asked me the question, yes, I'd rather England won the game and got to the final, of course. But going down fighting and just being edged in a semi-final is frustrating, as a lot of pundits said. That can only serve you well. You get to a final and get beat sort of fairly handedly, you go, yeah, we really were second best. You know, it's always, it's best to kind of maybe leave wanting more and to go, right, We learn from that. Let's try and push on next time. But we shall see, of course, if that means anything to future England sides.
Well, as you'd expect, France are big favourites to win on Sunday. Odds are 4-9 with Bet365. £10 returns £14.44, including stake, should they win in 90 minutes. I think France edge it. I don't see it being a hammering or a battering or any of that sort of stuff. I think the desire and the work rate and all that kind of stuff will make it closer than perhaps we maybe hope.
Oh yeah,
do we hope or do we not care? I mean, I don't really care. I'll watch it as an impassioned.
I hope it's a good game. That's it. I'm pretty impartial.
I think it'll be 1-2 nil France because they are just so hard to get clear chances against.
Yeah. Well, you may have hit on something there, Jim, because our best bet with Bet365 is France to win 1-0 in 90 minutes at 9-2. £50 returns, £275 including stake. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. That's our final best bet of what has been a pretty unpredictable tournament. But yeah, there we go.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. So it's, I say the end of the road for England. We got one more game.
Yeah.
We stand till
the
end.
We got the maximum amount of games.
I think no one would have thought that before the tournament.
I think, in summary, let's not get too hit up about things we can't control, as in the draw, the teams that went out early, the teams we played. It's nothing to do with us. We just play who you play. And the fact that England are going to come away from this tournament in the top four teams in it,
yep,
let's be fair, I was actually secretly quite positive about it beforehand. I thought we could surprise a few people, and we've done that. Mm. And we've given ourselves something to hang our hats on. We've had those moments. We talked about it. I remember now, 8 long years ago now, the back end of 2010, we said, all we ask for these days is a moment where you think, yeah, maybe. Just maybe we'll do something. And we've done that.
And also, and I said, since 1990, we've never overachieved a tournament. Well, I think all being said, I think we have here. You know, if you'd have said before this World Cup, England will finish in the top four and will go down fighting. One of their players will be, well, I know he hasn't won it, but a big shout, a big shoe. What am I talking about?
He's a shoe in for the golden
shoe.
He's a shoe in for the golden shout.
And the fans would be singing well after the final whistle when England go out, and the country would be united. You offer all that. I'd have said, where do I sign up?
Every single person I spoke to before the tournament from memory about England said, I think quarterfinals will be, you bite your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've done better than that.
I know. And considering all the previous tournaments we've covered since doing the Ramble, this has been by far and away the best one. And it's been a pleasure. But of course, we are back on Monday to talk about the final, everybody. But thank you for listening to this World Cup Ramble sponsored by Bet365. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, me. And goodbye from London.
There's a race on between Barry and Ozil. And Ozil has eaten up the ground on Gareth Barry. And
England lost 4-1 to Germany.
And they just let us tear ourselves apart and took advantage of it.
Joe Hart's doing everything to put him off. Diamante takes Italy through! In a football sense, justice has been done, but it's cruel on England.
Oh, gentlemen, England are out on penalties. Who would have predicted it?
It's time for the biannual head bashing on desk.
It's on by Cavani and there's no flag here. It's Luis Suarez. And Luis Suarez has thumped it in. That's it. Uruguay win in Sao Paulo.
Why are we so dejected? This happens every 2 years. No, don't worry about it.
It's not usually this bad.
England are out of the European Championship. And England's embarrassment is Iceland's ecstasy.
Don't take anything away from Iceland.
They're all just headphones. They don't communicate. They don't communicate on the pitch. They don't communicate off the pitch. You can't get anything out of them.
Should we do our fifth dissection of England being terrible at a tournament?
Why don't we just run the last one?
Bakker looks confident. Saved by Pickford. Eric Dier. And yes! Dier does it! England win a World Cup penalty shootout.
England win a penalty shootout for the first time in a World Cup.
In from Lingard! In from Dele Alli! This is the stuff of dreams from the Three Lions! Love and say goodbye,
bye. The most positive thing long term is that the break between the fans and the squad has been repaired. Mm. And the connection is now being felt by everyone. London, goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.